A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The word of the Lord.
The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Whoever walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue. The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord. The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Who lends not his money at usury and accepts no bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be disturbed. The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. James. Dearest brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes question Jesus, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands? He responded, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition. He summoned the crowd again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blaspheme, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. Our first reading, Moses is urging the people to be faithful to God in all things, not only by word, but by action. He goes on to say, do not add anything to the law that I've given you. Do not subtract anything from it. Moses is saying, because the law is perfect as it is, and it is not a burden to be endured, but a source of life and wisdom. And he wants the people to not just keep it in their hearts, but to live it out, an external sign, so that others will see and know the wisdom. And St. James, we know St. James is a big man about doing actions and to do things. So St. James puts forth that it is not enough just to listen to the word of God. We must put it into practice every day. In doing so, St. James shows the essential link between faith and love. And love for him is shown in actions. Now that brings us to our gospel. At first read or at first sight, it seems this incident that's happening in the gospel is over a very small and insignificant matter, an argument about washing hands. Mark goes on to say, oh, and by the way, pots and pans and cups and beds and whatnot. The Pharisees and the scribes appointed themselves, and this is, I'm going to be very deliberate about these words, they appointed themselves experts on the matter. And they challenged Jesus, who the people accept as a rabbi, over the behavior of his disciples. These disciples do not observe the prescribed ritual washing, and thus do not follow the traditions of the elders. The traditions of the elders. The question then is, what is the tradition of the elders? The main tradition to be followed, we find in our first reading. The main tradition to be followed, of course, is the law of God. The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, and the Pentateuch, which is also known as the Torah. And classically, the Torah is understood as the first five books found in the Bible. These books contain moral principles and regulations. The interpretation of these principles and regulations was rightly a matter of great concern, of great pastoral concern to the Jewish people. But it gave rise eventually to what we know as the scribes. The scribes were, the Pharisees were doing things in the temple, priests and things, and the scribes were the lawyers, if you will. So they become the experts of the law. And this is where the difficulty arises. You see, they put together the Talmud. If you were Jewish, you would know exactly what I was speaking about. But we are Judeo-Christians, so we should know what that is, because it becomes important. The Talmud, and this is where men's rules got in the way of God. Jesus actually kind of implies it. He kind of says it. He's getting in the way. The Talmud essentially broke down into thousands of little rules and regulations governing every aspect of Jewish life. And they originally stemmed from oral law, or from laws that are passed on by speaking it, so, or what we know as tradition. It wasn't written down yet, but it would be. Jesus is alluding to the distinction between the Torah and the Talmud. You see, if you don't know this, this becomes a problem, because it sounds like Jesus is saying no, no, no to all traditions. That's not what he's talking about. He knows what's going on. And so he's making a distinction between the Torah and the Talmud. The first is divinely inspired, given to Moses, and the second is humanly contrived. And so Jesus quotes from Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines mere human precepts." And friends, the Bible, Jesus is quoting a scripture, and if he's quoting it, we need to find out what is happening. And it says, "Since these people draws near with words only and honors me with their lips alone, though their hearts are far from me, and fear of me has become mere precept of human teaching." Remember what in the scripture what fear means? Does fear mean? No. Fear means to know, to have knowledge of. To have knowledge of me becomes mere precepts of their human teaching. He goes on to say, "Therefore I will deal again with these people in surprising and wondrous fashion." But Jesus is quoting this particular one. Why? Because what is happening is the people of the time, a prophet has been set to them, Isaiah, they are not going to listen to him. Jesus is much more than that, isn't he? They're not listening to him. But they are not listening to Isaiah. God has given a decree to them about something, about politics. And they are going to do secret planning. It means they're not going to follow what God had to say. Because, well, we have a better plan. If you don't know this, if you don't go and read it, you don't understand. Now you have a better idea. Why is Jesus quoting that particular scripture? Because decree has been given to them and it's been wise and it's good, but they needed to add and change things because they're a little bit smarter than God. You see what's happening now? And it's clever. Whenever Jesus quotes a scripture, we've got to go back and see what it is he's quoting in the context in which it is happening. We hear, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." God's laws, rightly, were focused on internal dispositions, while the human precepts were occupied with external things. My friends, you can wash your hands all you want, but that will not make you pure of heart. They make your hands pretty clean, though. Even the doers of wicked things take baths, do they not? Cleansing cups and dishes and hands can all be done without interior realignment, without any conversion of the heart, without any transformation. You see, now we'll go deeper into what Jesus is getting at. It requires no conversion of the heart and can be done without any sign or act of love and has no real intrinsic connection to religion. Now let us see what Jesus is really getting at. This brings us to the challenge. This brings us to what Jesus is trying to point out. Be clear about this. The Lord does not criticize these traditions because he himself kept many of them. You go into the scriptures and you'll see it was the tradition of, and Jesus did this. So he's not criticizing just the traditions. What the Lord is criticizing is traditions that are cut off from the very faith that gives them life. Here's the problem. These traditions do not automatically make a person holy. Wouldn't that be easy if just washing your dishes after dinner made you holy? Now, maybe for mom and dad, if the children do it, it'll make them happy. And happiness is good, yeah? Jesus is putting forth that holiness and sin are inside the heart of the person. So just washing your hands, is not going to be of any avail. The teaching our Lord is trying to instill is that our tradition should express and renew and deepen our faith. They should bring us closer to God. They express, but do not replace faith. The tradition should remind us and express who we are and what we are called to be. Specifically regarding religious traditions, they must never be cut off from faith that gives it life and meaning. In reality, we have all kinds of traditions. Monday, Labor Day, it's a tradition in the United States. Is it a sin if we observe it? No. There's other traditions. All of you have traditions at Christmas, we have traditions at Easter, there's all kinds. The religious ones must not be cut off from faith. They must go directly back. We have a tradition now here for the fourth year, the St. Nicholas Parish Festival. We start with prayer, and we have it here on this campus, not at some park somewhere. And we give glory to God for the great witness of faith of his St. Nicholas of Tolentino. It's connected to the faith and helps us to grow and to understand and to grow closer to Christ. We are surrounded by traditions. Humans are certainly made up of flesh and bones and genes and whatnot. Oh, where are the doctors? They can help me with this. And those genes, like if you were to see a picture of my dad, he'd be like, oh man, he looks like dad. I do. See, the genes transmit something. They tell us what we are. I'm a human person. Everything else about us, family and community and meaning, that is transmitted through traditions. If you say no, you're only fooling yourself. Think about it. Do a review of your life and see how it's weaved in there. Traditions communicate who we are. Our Catholic Christian traditions must weave faith into our very daily lives. They must never be held or done in a way that they do not aid in strengthening our faith. We have many traditions in the Catholic Church, and if applied correctly, they certainly become badges of Catholic identity. And brothers and sisters, in a world that is increasingly ever secular, that's a good thing. But they must be done with integrity. They must have meaning. Just as in the first reading, I want you to do these things so that other people see and they will come to know. Again, they are to express who we are and what we're called to be. They are to weave our faith into our daily lives. What we do here cannot be show. It has to be internalized so that when you leave here and go into the parking lot and go to Costco and go to the Tides and go to Fondi Pizza, people will know you're Christian. That's what I'm getting at. The customs and traditions are to be ways of sustaining our commitment to Christ. In this, they give great glory to the Father. And rightly so. We should respect and embrace the traditions of our Christian faith. They are how we stay close to our roots, close to Mother Church, close to each other, giving physical and concrete shape to our commitment to Christ. Our tradition should communicate who we are. My friends, when you make the sign of the cross and people see it, they know who you are. But if you then sit down at a table and start barking at the waiter and start being mean, you're sending mixed messages to them. You see what I'm sitting, you know, getting at? Because I know for a long time this has been a problem in the Christian communities about tradition. And it's because they misunderstand. I may not know everything, but Jesus does. And I'm teaching you. I went back and I showed you why he quoted that. So you come to better understanding what's happening. Did you learn a little bit? Did you make Father feel better and just say yes? So I can have dinner in peace. Or I'll spend the whole night restructuring the homily.